Captain's log, stardate 41242.4. Our last assignment has taken us into the remote Omicron Theta star system, home of our android crew member, Lieutenant Commander Data. Although we do it on our next assignment, I have decided to visit Data's home planet for a few hours in the hopes of unraveling some of the mystery of his beginnings.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske File. We are here with episode 13 of season 1 of Star Trek The Next Generation. We're going to be watching Data Lore. This is the episode where the Enterprise and Data go back to Data's homeworld where he was found and assembled, and they meet Data's evil brother Lore, who is in league with the entity that destroyed the original colony on that homeworld. Someone left a comment on a previous video saying that they didn't really care for the long Wikipedia reading of the intro that I was doing. So I'm going to stop doing that, mostly because we talk about the plot anyway in these the next segment. So that's it for that. This is the episode where Lore makes his introduction. It was directed by Rob Bowman, teleplay by Robert Lewin and Gene Roddenberry, and the story credit goes to Robert Lewin and Maurice Hurley. This is the last Gene Roddenberry script that he had his name attached to, so it's interesting for that. But here we are. Sean, my friend Sean, joins us on this episode to discuss, and we will get to it right after this.
Crystal form. I identify myself as Data, advising you to stop your attack. The humans here are powerful, capable of injuring or even destroying you.
Now I call that communicating.
All right, we are back with the 13th episode of season 1. This one is called Data Lore. I'm going to expose a little bit of craft here. I'm actually sitting here with Sean right now, and we're about to talk about this, but we actually watched Angel 1 after that, before this one, so we're recording a little bit out of order. But it's actually good that this might be the best season 1 episode that I've seen so far. I think you agreed with that.
I agree. I'm glad we watched them in this order. Otherwise, I would be really disappointed watching Angel 1.
Data Lore, yeah, Angel 1 is terrible, but you'll get that one on Thursday. But Data Lore is actually surprisingly good. The basic plot outline is that this is the episode that Lore is introduced, and the Enterprise goes to Omicron Theta or whatever it's called. They find Lore and they bring him back, and Lore reveals himself to be an evil douchebag. But it was actually, everything in this episode made sense. Everything kind of worked as you would expect an episode to work, maybe except for the third act, but we'll get into that.
Well, the best part about the episode was that you didn't have the random people who you'll never see again. It was all episode featuring the main characters who at least can act at a respectable level.
Yeah, that's true.
So all the acting was pretty good.
Acting good, and Lore becomes a recurring villain throughout the series. I have to admit, I was confused. I don't know if you, did you ask me or did Clay ask me, but I was confusing Data Lore with another episode, which is Brothers. And maybe I didn't tell you that, but I had forgotten that this was the actual introduction of Lore. I thought it was a totally different story that they actually introduced him in. But that's another episode where he comes back. I think it might be a season 2 thing. Brothers.
It's probably a Data, or I mean a Lore episode every season.
I would think so. Alright, so let's see.
So what's his face and get a double paycheck?
He can, yeah, probably. And he eventually plays Soong. Noonien Soong. He plays like an older version. He puts on like old age makeup.
Right.
And so he plays in that episode. He plays in Brothers. He plays all three roles because they all come together. And so,
sweet.
So it is actually cool. I mean, it's cool enough that Data actually plays, or Spiner plays both roles.
Yeah. I'm not going to learn their real names. So
that's funny. Yeah. But so Spiner plays both Lore and Data in this episode. They look exactly the same. They are identical except for the fact that Lore is superior, quote unquote. We'll get into that. So the Enterprise goes to planet Omicron Theta, which is, we were having a discussion about whether humans are colonizing the universe, and they are. And this is one of their colonies that they planted, and it's kind of like you could take it in like a horror story sort of realm. Like, they show up, and they're like, what happened to this colony? Everything is dead. It's like the, you know Roanoke Island?
That's Yeah.
It's kind of like that, where you're like, you plant a colony and you go there, and there's just a message on a tree saying like,
I'm Legion or something.
Yeah, something has happened. And I guess my first impression is, you brought it up, but this is the first time anyone's asked Data where he came from.
Yeah, no, people were real confused. They're like, what? You know who made you?
You know where you came from? Yeah, so Data exposes all this information about where he came from. For the first time, apparently, to his good friends on the Enterprise. And he came from this planet where he was found abandoned, and every other bit of life on the planet has been extinguished. So there's no bacteria in the soil, there's no humans around, there's nothing. All the colonists have been killed. And all they find besides Data is a couple children's drawings.
Well, and lore.
And lore. They find children's drawings first about basically a snowflake attacking the planet and
just a big snowflake in the sky and everyone running away.
It's, yeah, stick figures running away from it. So they beam down to this planet. Data's showing him around his home, and Geordi finds this thing. This cave is not a natural formation. It must be man-made. And then he immediately touches a switch and the door opens and they go inside. And they find Lore inside in a 60s sort of setup. And Lore is a carbon copy of Data. He needs to be assembled, though. So they bring in the engineer and Crusher, and they assemble Lore, or they don't know who it is at this time. They assemble Data Part 2, and he wakes up and he tells everyone else on the ship that he's Lore.
Important part is Data confirms to Crusher that he has an on-off switch hidden in his side.
And he wouldn't tell anyone else about this, because you never know what will happen when someone turns you off. Yeah, so it's the first time Data's on-off switch is mentioned. I think it comes back in later episodes. So they also have this weird scene where they're awkwardly asking Data about like what Lore can do. It's a very way, like when they're in that conference room and they're just like, do you think he acts like you, Data? And they have this weird thing, and then Picard yells at them, being like, just because he's a machine doesn't mean he's any less than a man than I am, or whatever he says.
Yeah, he was saying that just because, like, Lore is very clearly a machine because they found him in pieces, he's afraid that they're thinking of Data now as a machine as opposed to their crew member.
Yeah.
And then Picard makes the argument that we're all machines. We're just a machine of chemistry and biology or something.
And then
everyone was like, yes, yes, yes. And Matt Riker gives a knowing smile to Picard.
And Data goes, and well, Picard says, you're superior. Or Lore may be superior in some ways, and Data says something like, I'm superior to you in some ways, and Picard gives him this, I must murder you before you murder me. I am superior to you, sir. No, you're not. So we introduced Lore. We'll continue the plot before we get down to it. So Lore awakens, and he tells them that, I don't know if this is a major part of the episode, but he tells them that Data was built first, which is more... It's one of those things I think it's more interesting if you think about it than it actually is when they tell them the story. So Lore says that Data is a prototype, and that Lore is... Do I have that right?
Yeah, Lore says he was created second. He is the more perfect version of Data.
Right. That's exactly what it is. And which is a strange lie, but we can talk into that after. And then Lore, essentially, it's very easy to... in Starfleet, apparently, it's very easy just to get on the bridge and start doing stuff. It'd be like if I walked down to like the Navy Yard and I just got on the ship and I was like, Captain, I'd like to learn some bullshit about what goes on. Because they let Lore sit in the helm chair and he's doing shit. And they're telling him, like, this is how we fly the ship around. This is how we do that. No one seems to have any problem. And then Data and Lore start calling each other my brother, which is their term of endearment. And you made the good joke, and Geordi mentions that he likes the fact that they're calling themselves brothers, and we both laughed about the fact that a black man was telling two androids to call each other brother.
But they always say, my brother. Not just brother, it's always my brother.
My brother! And so they're showing Lore around the ship, and then they bring him back to Data's apartment, which is basically a workstation. He just has his own little desk in his little tiny apartment that he sleeps in. And Lore and Data chat to each other. Lore tells Data that Data was actually built first.
Yes. No.
Right? Is that what he said?
I'm sorry. Lore was built first.
Lore's built first.
He is a android that's more adept with dealing with humans.
Yep.
So he has pride and, you know, ambition or whatever. Yeah. Whereas Data is... The colonists were uncomfortable with Lore because he was too much like them. They wanted somebody who wasn't like them so that they could not have to feel so intimidated.
No, that's exactly right. And it's funny, they never mention... The main difference between them is that Lore has emotion.
And Data does not have emotion. But they never say that in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of like hint around it. But that's the main difference, is that Lore was built first, and Lore had human emotions programmed into him. And so it's kind of a clever statement on like artificial intelligence. He's actually evil because he has these underlying emotions that go along with things. And Data is pure and innocent because he doesn't actually have emotion.
And it's important to note that Lore can use conjunctions. Right, those are conjunctions.
Yeah, conjunctions.
Yeah.
Contractions. he's got conjunctivitis. Lore has conjunctivitis.
You know, conjunction function, whatever. What's your robotic function?
Lore uses contractions.
Contractions.
And he also has a twitch in his face.
Yeah, he has a cheek twitch.
A cheek twitch. And they talk about this difference in that Lore was built first, and that Lore was too perfect, too closely resembled humans, and as Sean was saying, the colonists feared him, so they made him become inactivated. And then Data was built to not have the emotions that would be upsetting to people. And Lore, we cut to commercial break, and there's this awkward thing where we come back and they know everything about the crystalline entity, which is the snowflake that the kids are drawing. And Lore has filled in the entire crew about that this alien crystal entity is what causes all this death to happen. It comes to planets and it feeds on the life. It's kind of like Galactus.
Mm.
It's like a Star Trek version of...
It's a lot less interesting.
A lot less interesting. Yeah, it's because it doesn't talk. It doesn't have a helmet. So it basically devours planets. And Lore's told them all about it. And then we go back and Lore and Data are drinking champagne.
Oh, I just want to say one quick thing about the snowflake. I do like what the point they made about the snowflake is Geordi comes in, he goes, "It's like a giant snowflake, except a lot more complex." this thing that's like 15 times the size of the Enterprise is more complex than a regular snowflake.
And it looks beautiful in Blu-ray HD. That is the one big difference. In the Netflix version, if you go back and just look at that scene, the crystalline entity is just a blurry mess of nonsense. And this, you actually see that it looks like something. But anyway, the Data is drugged. He drinks champagne. You should always be suspicious if you come into a room and someone offers you a glass of champagne and there's no reason to celebrate.
Yeah, and they've already poured it.
They've poured it.
And here, this one is yours. So here is the one I'm giving you.
Way to end your workday. Let's have some champagne.
So, does Data eat food? Is that a thing that they do? Like, why?
He can.
It's stupid. Doesn't make any sense, but...
I don't know if they've revealed this yet or stepping out about it. He has to eat a liquid supplement that's like oil.
Oh, I think I may have seen something.
And then he can eat to like maintain appearances with other people. So he can eat a limited amount, but it doesn't do anything.
I guess if he can, that oil, like the greasy goo or whatever he eats. Whatever. Yeah, I guess something is being broken.
It's the same in Deep Space Nine, and they have Odo, who's the shapeshifter.
Yeah.
Who doesn't need to eat or anything, but he... shapeshifts like cups into his hand and drinks from them. It's just him that he's drinking just because he wants to fit in. It's very Data-like in that way.
Hey, this is completely unrelated, but do you know who that actor is?
Rene Auberjonois.
No, clearly, then you must know what the hell the show he's from.
I don't, but I feel like I should know him.
He's the priest from MASH.
Oh, yes, he is. Yeah, that's right.
It blew my mind the other day when I was like looking that guy up, and I was like, oh my god.
that's so weird.
I can't picture him because he's kind of an asshole in Deep Space Nine, or at least he sounds like it.
No, he is.
And it's so weird.
And I feel like I should know him from more stuff, but I don't.
Yeah, he was in a surprisingly, big list of shows and stuff like that I've seen.
No, it's always surprising when they like, I don't know, but I can't remember what it was like in the TV landscape, but when they like accept a role in Deep Space Nine, looking back on it, I always think of like, oh, that must have been a career low, like they must have been like, I need something to do. I don't know if what Star Trek was actually considered in like actor circles.
I think it must have been decent. I mean, it's a famous show.
It's a famous show that
it's like going on a show that people are going to watch.
Right. And you get a steady paycheck for 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, you're working reliably.
But yeah, I mean, I never, watching Star Trek as a kid, I never expected, Patrick Stewart to be, the huge deal that he is now.
Yeah. Which is weird. We should talk about that. I have a lot to say about that. I don't know if that's good for this episode, but Patrick Stewart is like the internet Reddit sensation that he is, which is weird to me. But anyway, Data's drugged because he drinks the champagne.
I got to go one point on that. Doesn't make any sense because he literally like 10 minutes before learned where Data's weak point is. He literally could have just like, hey, said, look over there, and hit him in the stomach, and he would have turned right off. He did not need to be poisoned. The whole episode, I was waiting for him to deactivate him by touching his side, and he chooses to poison him somehow.
Right, through a means that we don't really understand, because he's an android. He somehow manages to poison Data. He knocks him out. Lore puts on his clothes, and the crystalline entity appears at that point. So, at that... Then I think Wesley's just sent in to get him or something. There's some reason why Wesley Crusher encounters Lore dressed as Data, and he sees him, and Lore has the facial twitch, and there's dramatic music playing whenever you see him, so you know that something is up, and Wesley Crusher can surely hear the dramatic music. And Wesley is not suspicious at that point, because he says, if you had started using contractions, I would have been suspicious, which I thought was a strange... That's a strange line to draw.
It's a very strange thing. It's an interesting thing. Like, yeah, that makes sense. That's why he wouldn't expect it, suspect him. But it was very awkward to say it. Well, like, if you'd be like, oh, I didn't think you were the evil twin because you didn't twirl your mustache while you were talking to me.
That's right. But, and like, the, if he hadn't done the, if he had just said that without the face twitching, it would have been okay.
Yeah.
His face was twitching like crazy, and then Wesley's looking at him, he goes, oh, I've copied Laura's facial twitching. He goes, well, as long as you don't use contractions, you must be the right person. So he's fine with that. And I will say, at this point, this is where the episode starts to get worse. Yeah. The episode was really good up until this point, and then it felt like they had to rush everything. Like, that feels very rushed, where they're like, oh, well, I thought you were bad, but you're obviously good because you don't do this. And then he immediately goes into the next scene and is the only suspicious person, even though Lore has done nothing else suspicious in that time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can feel the writers being like, we need to get to the end of this. Like, he needs to figure him out. So Lore goes to the bridge, he talks to the entity, and Wesley is suspicious of this, and he starts talking out of turn. The famous meme comes up where Picard says, shut up, Wesley. He tells him to get off the bridge. And they do. Him and Crusher leave the bridge with Lore. They go into the room where Data is now lying as Lore on the ground. And Lore, as Data goes over and says, I'm going to stand back. Don't come any closer. I've got this under control. Riker and Wesley are sitting there. And then Lore starts... vigorously finger blasting.
Yeah, no, he was molesting his on-off switch.
His android vagina was getting vigorously.
Yeah, there was a hole. He was like, his fingers were going in there.
He's using the middle two fingers. And I was like, you really should just poke him with a stick or something. He's jabbing him, and Data is sort of flipping out as he's jabbing at him. And he says, get out of here. It reminded me of something. What's the scene where he's like, get out of here, you don't want to... Oh, the parody video of the Johnny, who's the famous country singer? Johnny Cash. The Joaquin Phoenix movie.
No idea.
Well, there's the parody of that where, they parody Ray. Have you ever seen Ray? Just to explain it to us. No, but there's the parody of, and Ray, in the movie Ray, he comes into a guy shooting heroin, and he's blind, and he can't tell what's going on. And they're like, get out of here, Ray. You don't want any part of this. And so they parody that in the parody movie of the Walk the Line movie, where it's John R. Reilly. He comes in, and it's Tim Meadows in there. And he opens the door, and John C. Reilly opens the door. And he walks into Tim Meadows smoking a joint. And he comes in, and he's like, what are you doing? He goes... Get out of here, Dewey. You don't want any part of this. He goes, what are you doing? Are you smoking pot? He's like, you don't want any part of this. He goes, why am I going to get addicted? He goes, it's not addictive. Is it going to make me lose my mind? He goes, there's nothing wrong with doing whatever I'm doing. Get out of here. He goes, I feel like I want to smoke some pot. He goes, all right. He gives it to him. But it was that kind of situation where Riker gets booted out of the room for no particular
reason. Yeah.
There's an unconscious body on the floor and someone's telling you to leave because he's going to turn into... Because
he can sense you.
He can sense
you. I don't know why sensing him means he can't speak.
And he's going to turn into his ultimate form or something like Dragon Ball. But I lost my notes here, but the episode starts getting really rushed where The crystalline entity has appeared. I wrote down Worf goes into the turbo lift with Data.
No, no, no. Okay, so when they're on the bridge, I guess the crystal attacks or it moves close and the shields come up or whatever. Data runs in, or the lore runs in, and is like, hey, let me talk to it. And Picard's like, no, how would you know how to talk to it? And then the ship shakes again. He's like, go ahead, talk to it. And he's like, hey, I am Data, quotation marks. I am the form known as Data or something. And he's like, these people are powerful. Do not attack them.
That was the best part where he goes, yeah, how do you... I didn't know you could talk to him. He goes, I can talk to him. Hey, stop.
Yeah.
He goes, thank God you are here, Data. I didn't realize that we could speak English this thing.
So then he says the plan is that they're going to move the ship. Lore says the plan is they're going to move the ship away. And
this is where it becomes cockamamie. This is where Picard is an idiot. Lore's plan, he says, I'm going to beam a tree.
Yes.
out into space. And then we can shoot it with phasers. And the crystal entity will realize that we are powerful.
Yes. And Picard that is exactly
goes,
what happens.
And Picard goes, that is a good idea. That makes zero sense.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of anything. But again, it's like we're coming up on the end of the episode. We need to get a fucking plan going here.
I mean, how much of it is that they didn't realize how to, like, adjust the whatever crystals and blow the thing up? Is that a thing
didn't even try to attack?
Well, no, but if this was like a sixth season episode, they would have just adjusted some kind of field and blown the thing up. We'll just turn this thing.
It would have been a little techno babble and they would have adjusted something and fixed everything. Which is funny. Yeah, no, I won't go. The crystalline entity does come back at some point.
Oh, nice.
They deal with it. But
maybe we should have done a two-part with the crystal entity.
We'll have you back.
We're going to do this a little out of order.
In 6 months when we get to that episode. So the entity appears. They go through everything here that we've talked about. And then Lore gets into the turbo lift with Worf. Is that how it works?
Picard figured out that it wasn't Data when he told him to make it so to blow up the tree, and Lore was confused. And he didn't know it was he said, sir, you know, because he didn't know make it so meant do it. Although he could figure out what make it so would mean.
A very complicated order of do that thing you just said. What? You know, do it. Oh, okay. Yeah. So then
Worf and the security team follows him.
For just to go with him, I guess?
Oh, because he wasn't sure. Well, he was confused. Picard was suspicious at that point. He wanted to know what's up.
Oh, did he send Worf because of that?
Yeah.
Oh.
He said follow him.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that. But anyway, they send Worf in, and Worf promptly gets his shit packed in by Lore.
He just punched him right in the stomach, and you like a long, oh. It was actually a satisfying fight to watch.
We were laughing just how it was silly. So Worf walks in, and Lore insults him at first, and so Worf punches him in the face, and Lore just takes it, and he just punches him at that point.
He just punches him right in the gut,
and Worf falls over. And that's
No. He punches him in the stomach, and he, like, goes down, like, all hurt.
Oh,
he backhands him, like, up against, you know, the wall, and he, like, jumps, like, 5 feet in the air and, like, slowly comes down. It was, like, a great, great acting.
And the best part, it's funny when you draw the line between acting and editing. The scene is shot in literally two shots. It's basically, you get the angle of over the shoulder of Worf looking at Lore, and then you see the angle of Lore of a wide shot hitting Worf. And it looks so cheesy when you don't edit the pieces together.
Yeah,
in more time.
Goofy.
They obviously just decided to cut it down. And so then Crusher and Wesley go into Data's room. They wake up Data because Crusher knows how to finger blast his little on-off switch. He wakes up and they go, let's go fuck up Lore. They go into the transporter bay. Or the shuttle bay dock, wherever he is. There is a transporter there. Lore's talking to the crystalline entity. He's saying, I'm going to do this. When I lower the shields, you'll attack and kill them all. And I'll gain whatever nonsense I gain from it. Data, Wesley, and Crusher come at him. And Lore disarms Wesley?
Dr. Crusher. So you have Wesley standing there. Crusher on one side with the gun at him, and Data on the other, all cornering him. And he somehow grabs Data and, like, shoves him into Dr. Crusher, and grabs the gun away from her. It made no sense because they were not anywhere near each other. It was like a very awkward move where you would assume she just would have shot him.
Yeah, well, it's why even negotiate?
Yeah.
He's not even a human being. Data might be upset to learn about this, but it'd be like, shoot the robot. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, you don't have to shoot him in the head or, you know, just shoot him. I guess he probably isn't going to die.
Melt him down. So they do this poor assault. Lore takes the initiative and gets the gun back, and he's aiming it at Wesley. He tells Crusher to leave. Crusher runs out and he shoots her in the arm and sets her on fire.
Yes, sets her on fire.
Which is totally unnecessary in the grand scheme of things. Because she comes back as soon as the scene is resolved. He could have just let her go. Why shoot her?
Yeah, I don't know. It was bad aiming. It's not like she dodged and it only hit her in the arm. Like, right. He just shot her and it hit her in the elbow, but her elbow was fine.
So we'd have to assume that he intended to miss, because why would his perfect android self miss
Maybe
that
his
shot?
Face twitched in mid-shot.
His angle enough. And then Crusher runs out, Data attacks Lore, they have a little fist fight for a second, and then he judo flips Lore onto the transporter. Wesley beams Lore out into space. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, the crystal leaves because they have no way to communicate with it.
Right, and he can't get past the shields, and Lore is just out in space.
Yeah, they don't address that. Where did he go? Did the crystal entity take him, or is he floating in space and they can just go pick him up?
Well, they should have followed through with the tree plan and shot him with a
phaser. Yeah, exactly.
Well, now he's done. So they leave it open for Lore to come back, which he obviously does because he's been floating in space. And I thought the ending was weird too, where Picard and Riker come in and are very nonchalant about this seemingly like Armageddon threat against the Enterprise. So they're like, good job, Wesley, get back to work, Data. He tells Data to put a uniform on and get back to work, which is a very cold, cold-hearted response to these guys saving the ship.
And nobody gives a shit about the giant crystal that destroys planets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where the hell do you think he's going to go? Is he he's fine with just hanging out? He's probably looking for another planet to go. Why don't you chase him down? Is that what the hell you guys are supposed to be doing?
No,
is protecting human colonies, which clearly this guy just destroyed a human colony, and you don't even give a shit?
Which, I mean, it means that Lore is the Silver Surfer. He is Galactus.
Oh my god, you're right.
He is the Herald of Galactus, which is kind of surprising. They must have, because that obviously came out before this episode. They just, it's that idea.
Wow, but Clay's going to be mad he missed this episode.
Yeah, he would have had more to say about the comic book thing. You can look forward to Clay in the next episode. But, alright,
I just want to say, you want to...
No, say what you're saying.
I think the two things I'm really happy that didn't happen in the episode. Number one is when they find Lore disassembled, and Data picks up his very fake-looking head and says, it looks just like me, and it clearly doesn't, because it's clearly fake, a fake head with a real head. Yeah. And I'm just so happy that they didn't do the shot of, like, super fake head, and then, like, a close-up shot of just, the him holding a head.
And it's very clearly,
like, now him, you know?
Yeah.
I hate that shot. Yep. And then in the last fight between Data and Lore, there wasn't a, you know, their uniforms get ripped while they're struggling, and you don't know which one is the real one, and they're just like, you know, one of them says it's him, and the other one wasn't like, no, send us both. I was shocked that that was not in there.
I'm surprised you brought that up. I thought there was going to be a moment of the where the villain pretends to be like, you can't do this to me, bro. You know, like, he plays the emotion card of like, how can you do this to me, before he tries to shoot him, and then the good guy kicks him in the face or whatever. They didn't do that either. It was a very quick exit to, it was really just a judo flip onto the transport and he was out of there. And that was the end of the episode. And then, it ends us laughing. Just Picard and Riker walk off very merrily to 10-4 to wherever they're going to get a drink. And
I think they're like sociopaths or something. They just don't care.
They didn't react very well at all to this episode.
They weren't like offended or hurt that they literally like almost all got killed by a giant crystal, whatever the hell that feels like.
Enough to cause people to run away and children to drive.
Yeah.
But, it was a very good episode up until the turning point where the action started to happen. And it's definitely the best of season one that I've seen so far. Spiner's excellent. He comes back and he plays Soong and both androids at one point, which is really cool. It's his chance to stretch because normally they focus on Picard, although the two episodes we've watched have not been Picard-heavy episodes, which they have been all previously. And it's just a... Everything makes sense in this episode. Unlike Angel 1. Angel 1 does not make any sense, which we watch after this, but everything here is plausible. Everything works on a writing stance. You can have some minor quibbles with how it pulls out, but it makes sense as an episode. It feels a little bit dated, but I don't mind watching this one.
It's not a bad episode. It was very good, except the ending wasn't great, but it's still overall, it was an enjoyable episode.
Yeah, that was good. And I'll give this one, I know I'm keeping track of my episodes so I can do a recap. This one's I can't get a 4. Well, on my rating scale of 4 is I would always watch this. I would not always watch this episode. I'll give it a 3. I'll call it a 3, which is probably...
You're not doing half stars here? You can't
do that? No. Well, I do it very rarely just because I want to stick to what the little levels are.
Uh-huh.
I'll call this a 3. It's not a 3.5. It's a 3. And I'm happy with that.
What's the scale? Are you measuring this by like tiny little Enterprise symbols?
No, I do it by game board geeks thing. So a 5 is a classic episode, one of the best we'll always watch. A 4 is above average, we'll usually watch or recommend it to watch. 3 is average, enjoyable but unmemorable, we'll sometimes choose to watch. 2 is weak, we'll not usually watch. 1 is bad, one of the clunkers, never rewatch, might be classically funny. I guess by this scale it is a 3.5. Because okay. it is memorable for what it is. I'll give it a 3.5. 3.5, Sean's convinced me. But thank you very much for joining me on this episode and watching Data Lore.
Yep, awesome.
Cool, thank you guys, and I will see you on Thursday with Angel 1. See ya.